It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
For 2 hours. All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. We talk to him every Tuesday in the offseason. Elliot brought to us by Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. Quite a bit. So, Elliot, a lot of ways to go. Before we even get into the big picture and some of what you just heard there, Brian Dawkins, give us the crash course on what's going on this week with the OTA. I feel like this one kind of flew a little bit low under the radar. What is happening this week? How long does it last? Who's in town? Who's not?
Yeah, so the Eagles are now in essentially the final phase of the OTAs, where they have the ability to practice 10 times. And in these practices, they're able to do 7-on-7, 11-on-11, 9-on-7. They just don't have pads on, so there's no contact. But they're able to do team drills. So the first one of those was yesterday. Now, of the 10, they're doing 6. So they'll have one tomorrow, which, you know, if you know me, like, I am very excited to get out there and see this team practice. It's, you know, hearing you talk about the big picture stuff, and we'll get into that. I think it'll be good to get back to actually having football to talk about and seeing these things we've been talking about all off season. So that'll be tomorrow. And then after that, they have, I believe it would be 4 more after that, of which I think we'll get to watch 2 of them. And then they have the mandatory mini camp. So the off season's kind of wrapping up, but in another way, it's really ramping up because now they're really starting to do more of a traditional type of practice.
Why are they using 6 days out of the available 10, Elliot?
Yeah, I think that's probably in line with what we've seen this team do, really under Nick Sirianni, but I would say, you know, somewhat under Doug as well. They're a team that likes to, you know, when it comes to the off season, err, I would say, on the side of not putting as much toll on these guys' bodies. They've talked about, obviously, I know we've talked about it at length with training camp on how they handle things. So of the 10 to have 6, my thought is the reason they're doing that is because they, you know, the less time these guys are out on the field risking their body to injury, they see value in that.
And previously, they used how many OTA days? Like last year, they used 0, correct? Like this year, they're using 6. Last year, they used 0? Like that was part of the deal that they had? Or how many OTAs did they have last year?
So I think you're conflating the mandatory minicamp. Yeah. Okay. So the mandatory minicamp is what they've not done, I believe, the last 2 years. And as part of that, it's been, you know, a lot of the veterans come in for a lot of the voluntary part of the offseason, and we won't do the mandatory minicamp. This year, as of now, and I say as of now because it's been on the schedule before and they've canceled it, but as of now, they are slated to have the mandatory minicamp. So they have always had off-season practices. And they've never had the full 10, but yeah, you're thinking of the mandatory minicamp.
Okay.
Elliot, a lot of talk today about really the last 4 months as it relates to what happened in December and January. Do you think the Eagles have fairly effectively washed away the disaster at the end of the season, or do you think it still lingers in the minds of most?
I don't think they've washed it away at all, but I don't think it's because of a lack of anything they've done. I just don't think this is something that can be washed away until they get to Brazil and they beat the Packers, or they come back the next week and they beat the Falcons. Like, as much as we can talk about, you know, we've moved on from it and the team has moved on from it, it's just not something that goes away until it turns back around. So I think that this is something that is going to linger with them frankly, probably all season. I mean, even if they go 10-1 again, I think you'll see a lot of people more, you know, worried about jumping fully in considering how last season ended. So I think when something that traumatic happens and it's that kind of, you know, disaster at the end, I don't think signing a running back changes that. I think they're going to need a prolonged stretch of really good football to be played before people can move on.
So, Elliot, here's one that, man, I don't know the answer to it. And I don't think I've even posed this question since all the changes happened in the last 2 or 3 months. With everything that has occurred, coordinators out, coordinators in, Saquon in, Kelce, Hassan, and, you know, Cox gone, are they a better football team than last year?
It's such a great question. So I would say, I think the coaching staff is better than last year, and that really matters. So
I would
lean yes, but the loss of Kelce and Fletcher Cox are such massive losses. This team for so long, really, since I've covered them, I think almost every year they've gone into the season feeling really good about their line play. And while as much as we focus on the receivers and the quarterback and, you know, the corners and all those things, the Eagles at their core are a team that wins at the line of scrimmage. Most weeks they line up from another team, they can feel confident they are better at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
I think going into this season, you just don't know if that's the case. Now, it could be the case. It could be Tyler Steen is really good, or Trevor Keegan proves to be, you know, a steal, or Mekhi Becton is a better guard than he was a tackle. But until I see that they're able to win at the line of scrimmage and effectively handle the blitz, I just don't know if I can say they're better, because the units that really, really matter, the quarterback, the line, and then the defensive line, the offensive line, I think two of them are unknowns, and that's concerning.
How much, in your expectation, how much say does Nick Sirianni have, input does Nick Sirianni have in this offense compared to last season? You know, Kellen Moore, how much percentage-wise input compared to Brian Johnson does Nick Sirianni have?
So I think Nick has a ton of input in what's going to happen, but if you compare it to Brian Johnson last year, I think Kellen Moore does have more say. But I think part of that is because Kellen Moore has done the job for 5 years. So last year when Brian Johnson, I think they went into the season feeling like he would have the same amount of responsibility as Shane Steichen did. And in some ways, maybe the same amount of responsibility that Kellen Moore will. But in reality, I think both coordinators showed that learning on the job was really difficult. And so Nick had to get more involved. So going into this year, I think that if Kellen is struggling or if the offense is not working, like, Nick will be very, very involved in trying to turn it around and play calling and all those things. Because of Kellen Moore's experience, I think they're going into this thinking that they can allow Kellen just to do the job and Nick doesn't have to hold his hand.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, so Ellie, let's drill down on this a little more. Seltzer has a theory, and it's just a guess, but it's his guess, and he's not alone in this, that either Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman or both of them looked at Nick Sirianni in a meeting and told him, Kellen Moore runs the offense. Repeat, hey, Nick, just to make sure you got it, Kellen Moore runs the offense. Do you, Elliot, think such a moment occurred?
I don't believe that to that magnitude it did. And look, I'm not one to disagree with James, right? I mean, James knows what he's talking about. But I think there's some truth to both sides. Like, I do think that the three of them sat down and said, we need a better offense than we did last year. Because Jeffrey and Howie were here in 2018 and 2019 and 2020 when this thing got stale. They didn't hire from the outside. They didn't add new wrinkles to the offense. And it fell apart. So I just firmly believe that all three were on the same page of let's get someone new in here that can bring new ideas. Now, when it comes to what you guys, I think, are talking about, which is it's Sunday, it's 3rd and 10, it's the fourth quarter, someone has to make a call and they disagree. Like, who gets to make that call? That is, I guess, the million-dollar question. I would say that if things are clicking, it's Kellen Moore. But I do believe that if Nick is on that sideline and feels strongly that he can override Kellen Moore.
And what about Vic Fangio? Does Nick have the weight to override Vic?
So I think the difference there is with the defense, you're probably talking more philosophical as opposed to like literal play calls on Sunday. Obviously, Nick can say, you know, I want more pressure, or, you know, let's do this type of prevent defense or those or, you know, things of that nature. But Nick is just an offensive head coach. So I think with Vic, he will be much more of a head coach of the defense. So I think that Kellen Moore and Vic in some ways are similar in that they're being brought in for their experience and their ability to simply manage the ball, that their side of the ball, and allow Nick to be the head coach. But I just think because Nick's background's in offense, Vic will have more say in what goes on there.
Elliot Short Parks with us here. 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to Ryan McLeod in studio joining us for the final 2 hours of the show. Elliot, let's get to the schedule. We have not talked to you since it came out. Give me a word or a phrase that you think sums up what this schedule represents for the Eagles from a difficulty or not so difficult standpoint.
Yeah, I think the word would be fair. Yeah, I don't think it's an extremely hard schedule. I don't think it's an extremely easy schedule. I think there are certainly things you can point to. If you asked how I feel about it with the fans, I think it's unfair to the fans. I mean, if you're a season ticket holder or someone that likes to go to games, you know, you're only going to see the team in Philly 3 times, I believe, in the first 3 months. And that is disappointing. But in terms of like a competitive advantage, there's been years where the schedule has come out and I've thought this really hurt them, like last year. I don't feel that way about this schedule. I think this schedule helps them reach their goal as opposed to hurting them reaching their goal.
How surprised were you, Elliot, with the Devontae Parker news?
Yeah, very surprising. You know, obviously lived through this a little bit with Miles Jack. Miles Jack came in and, you know, retired relatively quickly. So I think when you're an older player, you know, the idea of going to a new team and you know, moving to a new city can sound refreshing, but maybe once you actually do it, you know, you realize personally, which I completely understand, he's played a long time. But from a football perspective, you know, Devontae Parker is not a big loss because you just really didn't know how good he was anymore. But what he did represent was experience on the outside. If you look at their receiving core behind AJ and Devontae, and you saw this last year when AJ went down, they just don't have a lot of proven players there. Paris Campbell is likely going to be the slot receiver. He could line up on the outside if needed, but I think his role is going to be on the inside. So now with Devontae Parker gone, you look and, you know, it's Johnny Wilson who's a rookie. I mean, Britton Covey can't play on the outside. I'm sure there's someone I'm forgetting, but they probably at this point need to go add a veteran, like someone that's played 100 games in the NFL or something like that, so that if AJ or Devontae do go down, they have a veteran that can step in there on the outside.
So have you noticed moving forward, and I know it's very early, the idea last year, Nick told us that they would ramp up the intensity. The offseason, you know, preseason, they were, you know, they would consider it. I know it's very early, but there clearly are signs. You know, they are doing more OTAs this year than they were last year. Mm-hmm. Does it feel like there's a vibe going on that they what's the general consensus on this new focus, the new harder offseason? Is it a positive feel, Elliot?
So it's probably not as early of a question as maybe you're saying it is. It's probably like 48 hours early because, you know, tomorrow I'll get a chance to get on the field, see what it looks like, see how they're practicing. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, like this offseason, from just like a vibe perspective, I do think there is a sense of like, let's get in the building and let's work and get past this. And I think that for as much as we talk about Jalen as a leader, you know, and the pros and cons and things he can work on and things he's good at, one thing I think he is very, very, very good at is setting a tone of working hard. Like, yeah. Jalen has been there all offseason. Like, AJ has been in there. Devontae, Saquon. I think Saquon has been a really positive addition. So, you know, the things they need to work on, like picking up the blitz and all, like, that'll only really happen once they start, you know, getting on the field. But from a vibe perspective, I do think Jalen's strength as a leader is showing this offseason, which everyone needs this to be there, and we need to work.
All right, Elliot.
Super. Thank you. What? No, that is really cool. When guys are hanging out, guys are in there in the building working out in the weight room. They don't just go in and work out. Like, they're going to check out some film. You know, they're gonna be talking.
Well, and bonding.
Football. Yes.
Yeah.
Every second matters, and I'm telling you, like, every quarterback I was ever around, as soon as they're in that building, they're going and they're watching some tape too. They might bring a couple friends. You know, it's not out of the question that Saquon might be watching some tape with Jalen, just on their own. This is exactly what you want.
All right, Elliot, good work, my man. We shall talk to you maybe even later this week. Thanks, pal.